Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or adorning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. I hope you are staying healthy and well as this new Delta variant of the Wuhan CCP COVID bioengineered synthetic virus advances rapidly through communities, congregations, and families, doing much harm and damage to the people's health. Don't be a human guinea pig for Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. These individuals and organizations are committing genocide. Please do all that you can to enhance your immune system naturally. Learn all that you can about the COVID vaccine from the sincere and God-fearing medical doctors and virologists that have been canceled by the social media giants. And whatever you do, don't take that unapproved experimental vaccine that will surely shorten your lifespan. As this dispensation winds down, there are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. The title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. G-O-G. This is not the name of some new cyber ninja warrior game, but a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier, almost 2,600 years ago to be more exact. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh at hand. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities? What are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. Then to add even more complexity to the configuration of these events, there has been much added discussion about Psalm 83 war. The Psalm 83 war was written some 3,000 years ago by King David's worship leader, Asaph. Asaph is also identified in Scripture as David's seer or a prophet. So Psalm 83 is an unfulfilled prophecy that must be calculated into the other battles that are still future. Now, to add even more complexity upon complexity, there is a future battle also called the Battle of Gog in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that occurs at the end of the future millennial dispensation, which dispensation is also identified as the coming kingdom of Christ when he personally rules and reigns upon this earth. We must ask the question, is the Battle of Gog mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 the same event mentioned in Revelation 20? Please listen intently as I untangle this web of future events to lay out a clear panoramic view of prophecy and answer the question, who will and who will not see these events unfold? Jesus emphatically stated, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, part one.
This is not something that you know you'll find on the computer and in the dark recesses of gaming on the computer. But this is a real battle. This is something that's real in the Scriptures. It's based upon prophecy. And so we're going to learn about it. And it's interesting. I was Heather, when we were talking this morning, she said there's a lot of talk about the Battle of Gog, especially among Jews. Somehow she's gotten on some website. Something popped up on her computer and said, you may be interested in more of this. And so she started perusing it. And it's about the Jews who are interested in setting up the temple. And there, she said, there's some excitement and electricity about the Battle of Gog. They want it to happen because then they feel that the Messiah would be near his return. So we're going to compare this with the Battle of Armageddon and compare and contrast and try to decipher what is being taught here in the Battle of Gog. So open your Bibles to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a contemporary with Daniel. He went into captivity. He's one of the two prophets, Daniel and Ezekiel. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, are the only two prophets that prophesied outside of the nation of Israel. The only two prophets that the Lord spoke to outside of the nation of Israel while they were in captivity. And so just a powerful passage of Scripture. Two chapters we're going to look at here and understand this battle. And we're going to decipher and figure out who all these people are. Who are all these characters in here? And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, I'm in verse 1 now of chapter 38 of the book of Ezekiel. Verse 2, now the son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, and chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy armies, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and be prepared for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, I shall also come to pass, or it shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servant the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the earth, face of the earth, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. I will plead against him pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God, and say thus, the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and I will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire. And they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and in the, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. It means it's going to be a horrible stench. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamgog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying all of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bones, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamgog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamath. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat the flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that, they have borne their shame, all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sacrificed to them in the sight of many nations, or am sanctified to them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathens. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. Thus the Lord saith the Lord God. There's a lot there. We're going to break it down, but it's a major event that is still going to take place in the future. It has not been fulfilled. And last week when I spoke and I talked about the fullness of the time was come, and the fullness of the time is to come when the Lord Jesus comes back a second time, I left you with the idea that after Jesus comes in the rapture, there's going to be a 40-year period of time up to the 70th week of Daniel 9, the last 7 weeks they call the tribulation period. And I want to help you understand what justifies that 40 years. And because when I first got saved, and I've heard about Gog and Magog and the battle, and I've been taught that that's supposed to precede the battle of Armageddon, I'm thinking, here you got one battle after the rapture, and then 7 years later you have the battle of Armageddon. How did they rebuild their armies? How did they get men to willingly go into battle against Israel after being miserably defeated 7 years earlier? Well, we will answer that question. We will answer that question. Time separates a lot of things. You know, we forget history. We forget what happened in the past. It's very easy to forget history. We're in a battle in our country with those who are trying to rewrite our history of our country. And because we haven't learned history, we haven't learned the foundations of our country and our nation, we're soon to forget those things that took place. And history repeats itself, especially the miserable parts of history repeat themselves. So justifying 40-year lapse of time from rapture to tribulation. As I mentioned before, Mount Sinai is a picture of the rapture. It is the first trump. We studied that. That's Exodus 19 and 20. That's where Israel is, right at the base of Mount Sinai. Chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. The first part of chapter 20 in Exodus is the Ten Commandments. Moses is on the top of the Mount Sinai. He gets the Ten Commandments on the tablets. And God descended from the heaven, down onto Mount Sinai. There was a great cloud, and there were trumpet sounds as God called the people closer to the mountain, to the base of the mountain, called Moses to the top of the mountain. And that is the first trump from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about the second trump. And so we need to know when the first trump was, and that's right there in Exodus 19. And then the last trump is the rapture. So therefore, it goes without saying that the entire Exodus of Israel from Egypt is just as much prophetical as it is historical. There is no doubting that Israel's entrance into the Promised Land is a prophetical snapshot of the New Testament saints' entrance into the millennial kingdom. The Old Testament Passover is a picture of our salvation through the shed blood of the Lamb of God, and our deliverance out of the world as Egypt is a type. So there must also be other prophetical parallels and similitudes that can be gleaned from this historical event. The 40 years of Israel's wandering the wilderness of Sinai must then be prophetically interpreted as I will do in this particular lesson. Foretold in Scripture, in two different books, are two massive armies that mount a terrifying siege against Jerusalem. Are they the same event, or are they generally accepted as two separate future events? You have the Battle of Gog in Ezekiel is very descriptive and must be compared to the Battle of Armageddon. Where do we get that name Armageddon? The Valley of Megiddo, which is north of Mount Carmel, where Mount Carmel is made famous in the scriptures, where Elijah had the contest with the prophets of Baal. That's in the northern part of Israel, north of Jerusalem. Those of you who know a map of and Douglas, if you're able to find that map, that would be wonderful, of the what we discussed about the Middle East. But Haifa is a major seaport in Israel. It's in the northern part of the nation of Israel. And they are at the base of the mountain at the Mediterranean Sea. And then the mountains rise up right from that port city, rise up right there. And the whole city of Haifa is up on a hill and looks out over the Mediterranean. And it extends eastward, and then at the other end of the mountain range is the Valley of Megiddo. It's a huge plain between mountains, but very large. I mean, it can handle a massive army, massive number of people. It's a big plain. Today it's just used for farming, and there's crops that grow there. And so this battle, Armageddon, the Hebrew word is Armageddon. They are distinctly different battles that need further explanation and their timing revealed.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.